This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Right now, though, we are going to the phones where we are joined by Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine here to talk about their issue, The Church. Well, it's called Hallowed Halls, The Church and the University. Michael, how are you? Oh, do we have you there? Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Ah, there you are.
Had you on mute there for a moment, but yeah, I'm doing very well. It sounds like you are also.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Doing great this morning. Yeah.
Hey, kid, do you have us on speakerphone?
I do, and actually, I am moving in my vehicle
okay.
Right now, and I'm going to pull over so that we don't have that interference.
Okay. Just clarify up a little bit. There we go. All right. So.
Sounding all right.
Yeah. I don't know if you're stopped. Maybe if you're stopped, if you could take off speaker, because we're getting a little echo of myself coming back at us.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's all right. It's technology, Michael. Not your fault. We'll blame the phone company for that one.
I blame them for a lot.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot we can blame for. So the latest issue is out of Christian History Magazine, Hallowed Halls, The Christian Story and the University. And really, I mean, you can't tell the story of the university without telling the story of the church.
Well, that's right. The church is the founder of the university. It was it came out of a combination of teaching in church and also the institution of the monastery around the time of the Reformation, a period that we have talked about frequently. That would be in the 1500s. And as the Reformation took hold, people began to realize that there was something inconsistent with the Bible and the monastery. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, secluded life and pure living are bad. They're not. They're wonderful. But the Bible really does not teach that we should seclude ourselves from the world. Quite the opposite, I believe, and I think it's borne out in this issue, that we need to be involved in culture and the society, and we need to be serving, which is the Christians did from the very beginning. I recall our conversations about the origin of the hospital and the hotel, all born by Christians who were serving others who were traveling, serving others that were ill. And so in this case, education, you know, when the Christians were secluded in monasteries and so forth, they started to develop some very interesting practices and methods of service, which turned into things like science, things like exceptional food preparation, better ways of doing all kinds of things. And so likewise, as I mentioned, as the Reformation took hold, monastery converted into something that we would today call a university.
And that really gives lie to, you know, one of the common criticisms of Christianity is, you know, it's just ignorance, anti-science and anti-knowledge, and just simply a blatantly false accusation, as any even a cursory reading of history would show us.
Well, there's lots of those. And say that again.
I'd said that one of the common criticisms that you get from opponents of the church and opponents of Christianity is that it's anti-intellectual. They don't care about knowledge. They just want to keep people stupid.
Yes.
And just any cursory reading of history, and of course, with Christian History Magazine, you get more than a cursory reading. But any in-depth reading or look at history shows that that's simply not the case, that Christians were pioneers in leading the way in education.
I'm so glad that you have mentioned that, because something that is happening today that we are seeing increasingly is our top scientists are coming out and sharing that they are people of faith as well as science, and there's no reason to separate the two. Historically, we can look back at the origins of science all of the science, early 1900s, were Christians. And it's amazing that scientists like Newton, who discovered something called gravity, and others that discovered the workings of the universe, of the solar system, of the laws of the universe, under which our planet operates. They were all people of faith. In fact, many of them spent more time, Newton being one of them, spent more time in theology, writing about theology, developing ideas of theology, and rejoicing in nature, the splendor of nature, as did Paul in the New Testament, that nature itself is a kind of Bible, a kind of course in theology for us who can understand the genius of our Creator, the compassion of our Creator, and as well as the discipline of our Creator in the world around us. And so we're seeing this actually with this crazy COVID situation, in which you know, we've been listening to this mantra from the government: follow the science. More and more scientists are beginning to have an impact on really draconian, unnecessary, and foolish regulations that we've been subjected to, because they have not been following the science. So, you know, the separation between science and common sense, as well as science and faith, are I think coming together. You know, as we speak, every day we're witnessing that we are able to recover our freedom, recover our fellowship by actually following the science.
And we also see, there's a one article called "Restoring the Divine Likeness" in this issue, talking about the purpose of the university. And anymore, I mean, the idea of the purpose of the university is go so you can get an education, so you can get a better job. It's very functional and utilitarian. But the early church, the early university, medieval universities, as they grew up under the church, were intended, as the article says, they were intended for character formation as a catapult into a higher income bracket. Where students pursued truth rather than political correctness or identity politics.
Yes. In fact, some of our finest universities, well, used to be finest universities, now they've gone off the rails, sadly, but universities like Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Dartmouth, the Ivy League, they were founded in order to train men to teach the Bible. That was the original purpose of that institution in this country. America accelerated this movement of education, which came to us from Europe. The original founders, the original pilgrims, in fact, were theologians. They were also we probably would call them learned scholars who were studying the Bible. And in the 1700s, 1800s, that was the pinnacle of knowledge and learning, was to know the Bible, because the Bible was considered to be truth. Sadly, what has happened, and I don't want to harp on this, but it bears repeating. Our universities today have decided that there is no truth, that truth cannot be known, and that explains why they have become anti-Bible and anti-Christian. However, as we know, our Heavenly Father always has a remnant, and so we can find people in the university thing today who are believers and who are keeping the faith, and are a witness to truth. So, and there's lots of ministries that have come up that are actually engaged in that particular ministry, that is ministering to our universities, recognizing that there is truth and it can be found in the Bible. That ministry is rapidly growing. That's great news.
Yeah. Well, and I love this paragraph. This is such a great paragraph of what, anyway, at least Christian education should look like. And as our, you know, we've got a lot of young listeners, people graduating high school now, looking for college, looking for a place to study. I think they would do well to think about this paragraph and think about, you know, the school looking at. Is this something these schools are upholding? This is from that same article, Restoring the Divine Likeness, says that the Christian humanist ideal of education already contained two important convictions that would later shape the medieval university. The first was that faith and reason work in harmony to give us a deeper understanding of reality and godly conduct. The goal of Christ-likeness is attainable through knowledge pursued for the sake of wisdom. Thus, the path to Christ-likeness is a faith-seeking understanding, the systematic unfolding of belief in God through knowledge. The early church did not regard the pursuit of knowledge as a threat to simple faith, as if logical reasoning waters down genuine belief. Rather, it considered knowledge an important tool to build faith.
Wow. That is so awesome. I would encourage young people to ask questions of these institutions that they're considering. Find out if they have a theology department, if somewhere in that university, no matter what their field of study might be. Because a lot of students today are, you know, choosing a minor, for instance, in theology or music or some related field that gives them an opportunity to fully engage with their fellow students and professors with the original idea of education, which, as you have so so well in that beautiful paragraph, bring us closer to Christ and school us in ways to be more Christ-like. That's the purpose of education. And so, I would encourage young people to choose a place that is going to have that, at least that element alive within its community. So many of these universities have removed it entirely. And our nation is suffering greatly because of that. We're seeing that in the professions. The subject of ethics, by the way, has been removed. And that's why there's so much corruption in business and in other fields that is being revealed today. Like I say, we're seeing this. I believe that what has happened in our age right now is that the veil has been removed, that our Father is showing us and revealing to us the reality of how we have fallen away from His ways, particularly in this nation, but around the world, that we have fallen away from His ways, and we need to repent and return to His ways. We have a wonderful example of that with the past administration, which brought us in amazing prosperity, amazing stability. Look at what has happened in just a few months. We're now engaged in wars all over the world. We're now suffering with our economy and our business environment, and we've lost in energy independence. In such a brief time, gas prices, I'm in a vehicle right now, I'm traveling down to Georgia, prices have almost doubled in the past 6-8 months, gas prices, fuel.
Yeah, it's getting crazy out there, you know, and you're right, because we've lost, and you know, it goes back to that, you know, how are we shaping and forming people, and what the role of the university is, and there's much more in this issue that we could touch on, but there is a great article, The Great Plan of Jesus Christ, that talks about revivals on campuses, too, and how college campuses have been the source of many great revivals in the country.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a great issue, and the timeline particularly is fascinating to see the the development. I've been reading about the Oberlin College right in Ohio, not far from you. a whole community founded by educators and theologians for the purpose of teaching a sacred lifestyle. Just amazing people throughout history have contributed to such a glorious legacy that we have. Imagine how much wealth and good works this nation has produced, primarily because for the whole world we serve as a light. As you know, President Reagan years ago referred to this country as a city on the hill, a light shining throughout the world. And that was because our education institutions were still teaching biblical principles and spreading that message throughout the world.
We're talking with Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. And Michael, if folks are interested in finding out more information about this issue or other issues of Christian History Magazine, how can they do so?
Well, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org, such a great resource. And by the way, a whole new channel, television channel, Redeem TV, which the ministry, Christian History Institute, introduced last year about this time, very timely in terms of what people are dealing with COVID. The entire archive of Vision Video, just thousands and thousands of wonderful video presentations, biographies, historical works, and also drama, theatrical drama, all deeply Christian-based information and education is available as well. Redeem TV, great resource. You can get the link right off the Christian History Magazine site.
Excellent. Hey, Michael, thanks so much for joining us. We always appreciate your time. Be safe traveling around out there, buddy.
Thank you. Good to be with you. God bless you and your wonderful audience.
Thank you, Michael. God bless, brother.
That is Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. Of course, their latest issue dealing with the church and the university, the hallowed halls. Check that out, ChristianHistoryInstitute.org.
This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.